This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We start off with the excellent news of Matt Brown and Michael Whibley. Pretty fantastic result, isn't it, Barry?
It was, with Andy Hung and Sataj Hans. They took out the 21st HC International, the most prestigious tournament in India, and took home a cool $50,000 US. They'd have got 40-something thousand if they'd finished second.
How cool is that?
That is very cool, and it was exciting to watch. It was pretty close most of the time, and the semi-final was against Boya Broegeland, so that was interesting to watch.
Yep.
And Boya got up to a bit of stuff, but it wasn't enough. The Norwegian team couldn't get past the Down Under team.
I enjoyed reading the hand that was up on NZB with Mike bidding six clubs, and on the other table they only bid five.
Richard Solomon wrote that hand up, really interesting to look at, and, you know, a little bit of maybe good guessing in the auction was worth a lot of imps.
Well, that puts them in fine form going into the World Champs.
Both of those teams, the team they played in the final and the team they played in the semi-final, will also be at the World Champs in Buenos Aires. So yeah, it was good to beat both of them. Let's hope they can do it again in Buenos Aires. Hey, for now, let's just relish the fact that they won all that money.
Awesome. Congress heading up. We'll hear from Bridget later on in the show. Judge Jolly is giving you some tips. Yeah, I don't know if you really like that subject that we're talking about, but it was pretty fun, so listen on in. And what have you got there, Barry?
So there's some results from the weekend. An interesting thing was the 8B mini congress. Greymouth, Picton and Motueka had events each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and quite good numbers. New Zealand's only online B point congress. Interesting comment here, and I got an email from Grant Jarvis just letting me know the Kerikeri had their 5A Swiss pairs on the weekend. He was just pointing out, and this is pretty amazing, the winners were John McIntosh, who's well known to a lot of bridge players, playing with a bit of a new name, Tamati Greg. Now, Tamati Greg is a second-year junior bridge player who began this year with just one B point, believe it or believe it not, and came out and won the 5A Swiss pairs at Kerikeri.
Well done.
So watch out for that name.
Yes. Wonder if he's coming to Congress.
Runners-up were Solushna Humphrey and Bill Humphrey, and they won by something like 17 VP, so pretty big win for John and Tamati. If Tamati is coming to Congress, watch out.
You've been warned. And as promised, we've got from NZ Bridge, the gatekeeper of Congress, which starts this Saturday. Hello, Bridget, and welcome.
Oh, hi, Mariana and Barry. Thank you for having me.
It's all right. This is not the first year we've had you. Hopefully it won't be the last. Oh, the good part about that is you've got all these comparisons with previous years, Bridget. So how are the entries looking for this year's Congress?
So, Barry, the entries are tracking well. They're probably about par with last year. In total, there's 110 teams entered in the teams events across the four different grades on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. The pairs events, which start on Saturday, are pretty much the same as last year. The exciting thing for the teams this year is we've got over 50 international players coming, and we've got a contingent from Shanghai,
Ooh,
who by all accounts are pretty hot shots, so they'll be a team to watch.
Wow.
Okay. I don't suppose you know the name of that team, and if you can, I don't suppose you can pronounce it.
No, it's four letters, and now you've asked me, it's something like SQ... something rather. But anyway, they're from Shanghai and they're coming along, and there's another couple from Shanghai playing in a team with Jun Lee.
So what other top international players are coming that people can perhaps look out for if they're following the Congress?
There's Tony Nunn and Nabil.
Nabil Edgerton. Yeah, I saw them entered in the pairs.
Yeah, and they're playing in the teams, actually with the team that were runners-up last year, the Michael Cornell's team with Peter Newell and Martin Reid. So that's probably a team to watch as well. So it should be quite exciting. The junior entries are down a bit. I think a lot of them are last minute because they're mainly locals. So I'm hoping to get a few more junior teams, especially at the end of the week in the Congress teams. So this year we've got two lots of teams by popular demand and a Swiss pairs. So it's a pretty straightforward format. So there's pairs Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or a version of the Swiss pairs for those that drop out of the pairs. Teams on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the round of 16 on the Thursday morning. And for everyone else, there's Swiss pairs event that runs for a day and a half, Thursday, Friday morning. And the rounding off with the Congress teams on Friday afternoon and Saturday, finishing just after 3 on Saturday for those that need to run away to catch flights.
Right, I see.
Pretty hot field in the open pairs. I'm just looking through. I see Liam Milne and James Coutts are in there again. Who are you picking, Bridget? I know you're not on for this, but have you sorted out who you think's going to win the pairs?
I haven't even had a chance to look at who's going to win the pairs. I mean, I'm always probably a bit parochial and go for a Wellington pair.
And like you say, the teams, I'm just quickly looking through the entries. The teams looks great this year. There's a team talked about from Shanghai. I'm just trying to find their name. I'm talking to you. This isn't June Lay's team. This is another team, isn't it?
So, yes. So, you know, we'll have to make them all very welcome. And, yeah, they're coming a long way from Shanghai. So that's pretty cool. Mm.
Yep. Well, I guess they're not coming here for the good of their health. They're probably hoping to win.
I would suspect so. Let's hope our local boys can give them a run for their money.
Good run. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, you asked for pre-registrations into the quiz night and also people going into Mount Maunganui. Has that been going well?
Slow. So hopefully, I mean, I know bridge players are notoriously last minute.
Barry Jones.
So we've got a few teams registered. We've got more registered at this stage than we did at the stage last year. So that's the scope yet. It's just the Club Mount Maunganui where we're holding the quiz. They're sort of in the throes of renovating their kitchen. So the numbers for catering because they've got limited resources there. So, yeah, it would be good to get people to get their teams registered and get in. Be a great night. So it's on Thursday night this year.
I've got a question about 2025.
Sure.
Is there much work to do moving from up here, Bay of Plenty, down to the Manawatu?
Good question.
Kidding, it must be huge.
Logistic-wise, yes. Currently, we have a couple of storage containers in Mount Maunganui that need to be relocated into some sort of facility. So I've been doing a bit of investigating on that, but decided that I would look at that in January. From January till November to get all that gear down. All the boards will still be dealt in Hamilton by the lovely Leslie, so she'll carry on doing that. We've had great support from one of our sponsors, Apex Rental Cars.
Yeah.
This year have supplied a van for Leslie to transport the boards from Hamilton down to the Mount, and again next year they'll be giving her one to bring down to Palmerston.
Oh, how great is that?
Oh, that's really good.
That's excellent. Go Apex Car Rentals.
Yeah, it's really excellent.
I found the name of the team that you mentioned from Shanghai. It's called the SQYZ team, and I can see why Bridget is not keen to try and pronounce their names. I'm not going to either. You can see them on NZ Bridgeside. Yeah, that'll be exciting to watch.
It will be. It'll be a great competition, hopefully.
And you're playing again this year?
I am playing again this year.
Awesome.
In the restricted section. I quite like my little comfort zone of the restricted section. A lot of my friends probably play a lot more than me and maybe do better than I do, and they've all moved up to open. I'm hanging in there in the restricted. That's
cool. I might bounce it across you. The individual ones I'm playing restricted open, but the team ones I'm playing in the open.
Yeah.
Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Haven't held very many cards in my hands over the last couple of months. Definitely looking forward to it.
Oh, you know, it should be great. And Mariana, you asked about Palmerston North next year. The venue, I must say, is great. The advantage of it is that we're self-contained. It's just us in the venue. There's no other activities happening at the time. And you walk out the door and you're across the road at the cafes.
Accommodation
within walking distance.
Yeah.
And it's just off the square in Palmerston North. And the Palmerston North City Council are being really supportive of the move, of us coming there. Oh. And I think they're going to, you know, pull out a few stops to make it a good event for us.
Nice. Now, how long are we there for at this stage?
In Palmerston North, we are there for the next 3 years.
Okay.
And then who knows?
Hopefully it will go well enough that you won't have to hire another van, Bridget, and go to wherever.
So, I mean, so it's no point going for 1 year. You've got to sort of make a go of it and see if it's going to work. You know, while we've enjoyed Bay Park, it's been great. This is a new adventure and it'll be quite a different atmosphere, I think, than Bay Park.
That'll be great. Yeah. I think, anyway.
That should be.
Alrighty.
Even though it is Palmerston North.
Hey, that's my old stomping grounds. That's where I learnt to play bridge, so I'm happy.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, it's a great place. People shouldn't.
It is quite central, really. I mean, it is, you know, reasonably easy for wherever you're coming from, I guess.
So there's direct flights from Christchurch, like there's about 10 direct flights a day from Christchurch into Palmerston North.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the same from Auckland. I think there's a few more than 10 from Auckland. And then it's really drivable, you know, from Wellington, it's less than 2 hours. I want to say an hour and a half, but depends how. If they increase the speed on Transmission Gully, then it will be an hour and a half. And, you know, close to Whanganui, New Plymouth, and Hawke's Bay. So it's a good central location. Palmerston North's always been a bit of a conference centre anyway because of the locality.
But that Bay Park's good. Where it's all happening this year.
Bay Park this year and Wednesday's Fancy Dress Day. Get your R costumes on. It's the second day of teams, so we're going to have...
Everybody will be there.
450-plus players, you know, so it'll be great.
I can't see him dressing up, Bridget.
Oh, something beginning with R.
Something beginning with R. Could be anything.
Well, retired.
if only.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Bridget. Yeah. If there's anything we need to know before Congress, well, you won't hear it on the Bridge Zone. This is it. This is the last week.
That's right. So everyone that's entered would have got an email yesterday with lots of information. And the big thing is get your quiz teams entered, quick smart.
Pay your entry fee. Okay.
And pay your entry fee, yeah. Have you downloaded the app?
Oh, yeah. You won't believe it, Bridget, but I did that last night.
Well, I haven't done it yet, so I'm going to give it a go as well.
So I was very easy to do. I've got several partner requests come through on the app. A couple of people there that have taken the initiative and used the app to find a partner.
So you're playing Cupid again this year, Bridget. Good luck with that.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at Congress.
Yep. Look forward to seeing everyone there.
Okay. Bye for now, Bridget.
See you.
Yep. Bye.
And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
My tip for the week, it's X-rated. I heard Michael Wibley saying this once, and he said that if you are not vulnerable and the opponents are vulnerable and your partner opens one of a suit, you should virtually always respond. You know, he's not saying that you need 6 points or five or a good four or even a chunky three. He was practicing what he preached over the weekend. I was watching this hand where his partner opened one heart and he was sitting there, not vulnerable against violent. It went pass on his right and he had a one count. One count, Mariana. He had six diamonds to the jack and that was his hand. So he did what he said. He responded. So he didn't have four spades, didn't have hearts. So he responded one no trump. One heart, pass, one no trump with a one count. Now, I think even in his wildest dreams, he would have never thought this would work out so well. The next hand, quite a nice 16 count. And they had ace, king, queen, 10x of diamonds. So they overcalled two diamonds. Certainly looked like they've got their bid. His partner, Matt, had a 19 count with a singleton diamond. So made a takeout double for his partner. So Michael left it in and got 500 from two diamonds doubled. Matt did have a 19 count, which was helpful. But still, anyway, I thought this was quite amazing. It's because it was a teams match. At the other table, the Americans held Matt and Michael's hand, opened one heart. Believe it or believe it not, they responded one no trump. The next hand, Sartash, overcalled two diamonds. It went take out double, and they got 500 as well. What do you think about this thing about responding with not much more than fresh air?
I'd pass.
Most people would. I'm not saying that you should, but I'm just saying that there's two world-class players that both did work out pretty well on that hand. And clearly it's something that a lot of those top players do is respond only if you're not Vol and the opponents are Vol, your partner owns one of a suit. Yeah, now I'm not recommending this. This does not come with any guarantees, because I don't know where they were headed if they hadn't have overcalled, because Matthew had a 19 count. He was going to go somewhere over one no trump, and it may not have been pretty.
Well, I think 90% of players would have passed.
90%? Like, if you're playing in a club in New Zealand, I'm saying you're too low with 90.
Really?
I think it'd be closer to 100 that would pass with that hand without even thinking about it. Most people are going to pass in their sleep. But from now on, anybody that listens to the Bridge Zone won't. Next time they pick up a one count and they hear their partner open and they're not Vol against Vol, they're going to look at the bidding pair, they're going to look at the vulnerability, and they're going to think, well, I wonder what would happen.
True.
So if anybody tries it out, please email us. What's the email address? Can you remember that?
BridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com.
We want to hear what happens.
I bet you they thought they had some blood on the ground.
They probably took that 500 back very proudly, only to find out they got 500 out at the other table.
True.
I wonder how much of this is going on.
Well, we know at least two people do that.
We do.
Two pairs do that. Maybe after Congress, we might know some more. And they'll be going, that bloody Barry Jones and Michael Wibley. And you've got to probably put in Matt Brown, because if Mike does it, Matt would do it. I reckon that's a partnership agreement there. Quite clearly, it says I've got nothing.
This is the problem, Mariana, is when you bid, partner can't know you've got nothing. You might have an 11 count. You might have a 15 count. Or you might have a 1 count. And partner doesn't know. Partner can't possibly know whether you've got a good hand or whether you're just responding because you're not Vol against Vol. Or whether you've got an average. I mean, you could be anywhere from 1 point to 20 points.
Not with a one-no-trump response, Barry.
Oh, not with a one-no-trump response, but they don't always respond one-no-trump.
True.
Your partner's still going to play you to have 6 to 9. And with some systems, one-no-trump is forcing for a round. It can be up to a 12 count. So, and I mean, if they're playing 2/1, and I'm not sure that they are, but if they're playing 2/1, you know, one-no-trump is absolutely forcing and could be up to 12.
Yep.
It's not saying they don't have anything at all. Partner can't possibly know.
Well, I bet
you. Scary stuff.
I bet you at the score up, Matt and Mike thought, oh, this will be a good score. And when Sutage brings it back, thinking, oh my goodness, sorry. And they'll like hug it out because zero.
It just goes to show you, though, that if you do something at the table like, you know, Sutage, you overcalled two diamonds with a 16 count and ace, king, queen. It wasn't anything crazy that he did. As long as you've done something that's not absolutely crazy, there's always a chance they will have done the same thing at the other table. So you look at that minus 500 and think, well, that's a disaster. But think, hang on, I wonder what happened at the other table. There's a chance it happened. Same thing happened, and you get just a flat board. Move on.
And they did. Well done, boys.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, Judge Julie, we're a bit touchy today.
Oh, no. What have we done?
Are you a bit touchy-feely, Judge Julie?
No. I'm relaxing, and I want everyone to be nice, relaxed, calm, happy over the next 2 weeks, all right?
What about touching and feeling your dummy? What about that?
Okay. That's a novel approach. Does it help?
So there's a set declarer who likes to rearrange the cards and rearrange the cards and touch and rearrange the cards right throughout the hand. Is there a problem with any of that?
I would think we're going to be getting into something, because about when a card is played and when it isn't. Okay, we used to play the cards by touching them from dummy. Was about the most common way we played. Somewhere in the last few years, it was recommended that we don't touch the cards, that we call for the cards, so dummy plays them. And I do strongly recommend this. The change of your concentration from looking at a hand in front of you and looking at it on the table often leads to making mistakes. Seriously, if you can, call the card so dummy plays it, not you. So that's the recommended thing, but you are allowed to touch the cards. If you touch a card in dummy, it is played unless you are rearranging. Now, rearranging is because maybe dummies bunch the cards, or some people have sight issues. They need the cards close to them so that they can see them to call for them. I had one the other day where dummy needed the cards further away because dummy couldn't see them when they were close to dummy, which was a new problem that I'd never come across before, but we all have different issues.
Yeah.
They're not meant to keep rearranging the cards. And when you do rearrange the cards, you should say that that is what you are doing.
All right.
Now, yeah. If you don't say that's what you're doing and you touch a card, that card is played.
I can hear a fight starting to happen here.
Now, we're going to get a lot of things at Congress, particularly if it's our first time or we're playing against people we don't know, where people do lots and lots of different things. So, the board is meant to stay in the centre or near the centre of the table. In some situations, like the ones I've just said, where you have visibility issues, that is allowed. In general, people should call the cards. If they don't, if they touch them, they are played unless they state really clearly they are rearranging. For people that have a variety of accents, 8 and ace and 10 and king, sound very similar. A lot of them get misheard. But if the carer calls for an ace and you think it is an 8, it doesn't matter what you think you heard. It is what the carer has called. And if the carer calls a card and dummy plays that card, you have no comeback if you play something that you think is winning the trick and it isn't.
Even if they're from Mossburn.
Even if they're from Australia. So if the clearer calls a card and dummy plays the card and you play something, you say, but I won the trick. You did not win the trick because you did not listen to what was called for. If you can't understand it, and the same thing happens with the bidding pad, if you cannot read it, and believe me, I sympathise. I have seen some horrific writing in my life. All right. There are some people who, if they are not doctors, they should be because they write like them. All right.
I'm not going to be the person who mentions Richard Solomon's name.
You can't read what is written here. You don't get to make an assumption. You are what the bid is. Not assume anything. All right. I have seen one heart that looks like four hearts, an unbelievable number of times. I've seen an argument about which way you write ones because some people think they are sevens. Twos that have a bit of a curly bit at the top so they look like threes or fives.
That's me.
So if you don't know, ask the player what was it they wanted to be played or what was it that they wrote down because you can't read it. If things get niggly at the table, call the director. We are there mainly to ensure that we all have an enjoyable experience. If we don't like what's happening at the table, zero tolerance starts by us saying, excuse me, I'm just going to call the director because I'm not entirely happy. If partner gives a mis-explanation, if they don't alert something, they should alert. I don't know, lots of things happen in the auction and your side is defending. You cannot correct anything until the hand has been played. Right. If you are dummy or you are declarer, and this has happened, and Barry's about to lead, we stop him leading and we say, wait a minute, my partner should have alerted. When we are the declaring side, dummy is not dummy till their hand's down. They are 100% allowed to say something before the opening leader's made, as is declarer. They should correct any mis-explanation that occurred. Call the director immediately. There are some things that will happen that will make life better for everyone.
I wonder if we could pick a number of how often an individual actually calls the director. Or I wonder if there's a lottery that we could say that Barry Jones calls the director, what, 6 times?
I would actually anticipate that if we had a count on who calls the director, that the people that call the director most often are likely to be directors themselves. Because the
That's interesting.
All right. It says if there is an infraction, you call the director, right? People say to Patrick and I, why don't we make a ruling? We're not allowed to. We are not directing at the tournament. We are players.
That's why they're always so long coming to the score-ups, Mariana. They've got the bloody director at their table all the time. Before we leave this dummy subject, it's time for me to confess. I am an untidy dummy. I just chuck them down there, and sometimes it's not very pretty. What's to become of me?
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Listeners, if you could see their faces, they're shocked to think that I would be an untidy dummy.
Absolutely stunned, and especially with the haircut you've got at the moment.
Everyone's getting flashed up before Congress.
I mean, how bad can it get? The clubs go in amongst the diamonds and...
I mean, apart from anything else, you are doing your partner a huge disservice, right? Because if you put dummy down badly and your partner does something wrong because they can't see something, there's no correction here. It is entirely the declaring side's fault and they're not getting anything back. Dummy can revoke. To everyone out there, if there is a card hidden and it is in dummy's hand and dummy revokes, they can revoke. You won't get the revoke law of trading tricks applied, but you will get equity. So if your partner by now hasn't told you to shape up or ship out, I am amazed, Barry Jones.
Why can't I lean over and help him as an opposition and put them nice and tidily,
Jones? Ever touch an opponent's card. If something goes wrong and cards go missing, oh, you are in a world of pain there, Mariana.
Okay, so you have to just
touch your opponent's card.
Do not touch. He'll probably smack my hand anyway.
when they've revoked, put your card up a wee bit to remind you whereabouts your revoke occurred, but you never, ever touch anyone else's cards, not your partner's, not your opponent's, unless you are the clearer. And even then, we strongly recommend you do not touch dummies' cards.
Hey, that's another thing. You've just said something there. You know, when you think they've done something wrong and you don't want to say anything right there and you do move your card up a little bit, what happens if I'm the opposition and I notice that little move up? Am I allowed to ask why they did that?
Well, I don't know what the rules are about that, actually. Ideally, I suppose you don't do anything noticeable for any reason at all, but you do need to make sure that you know where it occurred in some form. I mean, it's a really good recommendation is that when you are a declarer and you're working out how many more tricks you need for your contract, maybe check what dummy's got in front of them, not just what you've got in front of them. Dummy normally puts their cards the right way. It's amazing how often as a declarer you don't. Because you're thinking of the cards you're playing, you're not really concentrating on how you're placing your tricks.
You're probably thinking, I wish Barry would bloody put that dummy down nice and straight.
I tell you what, one thing that would distract me is if I was playing against Patrick and Julie, and Julie started touching and feeling her dummy now, that would distract the hell out of me. I don't think I could cope with
it's
that.
A family show. Judge Julie is trying not to crack up, people. She's failing. Oh, my goodness.
Just wondering if it's too late to get new teammates.
All righty. Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Good luck to everybody playing Congress this year. I hope you all enjoy yourselves.
I think that's about it. If you are going to Congress, all the best to you. We might see you at the table. Come on up and say hello to us.
And we'll be still recording the show next week. Live and exclusive from Bay Park.
We'll see you later.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.